Dancy Lagarde fans, you will be thrilled to know a book is coming out if you fund it. Via Unbound, we are publishing The Dancy Lagarde Reader by Alice Fraser and Dancy Lagarde, a glorious insight into the world of Dancy Lagarde, self-published romance maven and online bestseller. If you would like to find out how to support it, go to thebuglepodcast.com. If we get enough support, we will publish the book. That's a real thing that's going to happen. Thebuglepodcast.com to support The Dancy Lagarde Reader.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Bugle presents The Last Post with Alice Fraser.
Hello, posters, and welcome to The Last Post, the final word in this, the most final of worlds. Today's episode is episode 309 of this year, marking Wednesday, the 4th of November of the year 2020. On this day in history, in 1646, Massachusetts used the death penalty for the crime of denying that the Holy Bible is God's word, proving that Americans have always been murderous zealots desperate to dehumanize their political opponents, and also that cancel culture could be worse. And in 1846, on this date, Benjamin Palmer patented the artificial leg, while his wife, Mrs. Palmer, and her four lovely daughters and one thumb invented masturbating. And in 1854, a lighthouse was built on Alcatraz Island to attract criminals like moths. Your guest today on the podcast is the recently rediscovered member of the royal family and ex-disgraced minister, John Luke Roberts. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Coming up today, we'll be talking all the latest breaking news in the American election, including the latest rock/island election news. But first, some headlines of stories we won't have time for. In the news today, Elon Musk's robo-chipped pigs have been out of the headlines of late after holing up in Mount Rushmore demanding animal rights. You could be forgiven for assuming that they'd fallen off the map. Well, in a way they have, as the launch of a pig rocket from the face of Teddy Roosevelt into space sees these revolutionary hyper-intelligent pig bots fling themselves from the surface of the Earth and into the vast unknown. Where they're going, nobody knows, but NASA is attempting to make contact with the rogue pigs, while Elon Musk, who still owns the intellectual property on their networked brain chips, is said to be suing them for licensing infringements. John McRoberts, you got anything to say about the robo-pigs?
Is this the pre-story for the Muppets Tonight Pigs in Space feature? Because it's about time that prequel was made. I'm glad to know Elon Musk was responsible.
This is real world news, John Luke Roberts. You know the robo pigs, Yeah. You know the escape of the robo pigs.
And I know the robo pigs. I just hadn't seen where this was going. And having pieced it all together, it now seems that next step is pigs in space. It's very realistic.
And in updates of local news, rebellious individual Lone Wolf Jonathan, who works alone and needs only himself, has fallen out with Gladys Smith of North Southerton, who runs the weekly Bridge Night. Gladys, until now, has always said she's happy to have young faces around the Bridge Night and has had a soft spot for a bad boy since her husband was away at the war and she had a brief fling with a Bolshevik, but discovered Jonathan selling illegal drugs to the rest of the Seniors Bridge Association. After noticing serious tactical changes among the over 80s, Jonathan has been suspended from club membership for up to 3 weeks and is said to be repentant. Do you play bridge, John McRoberts?
I don't play it, but I've occasionally check out what the rules are because it comes up in a cryptic crossword clue.
That's all the time we have for the headlines we don't have time for, because now it's time for your ads. Your ad section now, because we've got to buy things, otherwise we're all going to die, because we're not allowed to do subsistence farming anymore, because that's not how the world works. Meringues. A deceptively difficult bake. They must be light, sweet, but also structurally sound and capable of being built into an 8-foot flower sculpture for the dessert fair. But alas, Denizen Jones is there, your worst dessert enemy, with his foolproof meringue and his mind-bogglingly innovative cascade of cats design. That said, all you need to win the prize and the admiration of the young, impressionable meringue groupies is for Jones to slip up just once. And in your hand, you have half a glass of water. Half a glass of water is enough to sabotage anyone's egg whites if dropped in at just the right time, and it's not for nothing that you recently befriended the charming, cheeky street urchin Horace Grimblesby. Half a glass of water. Victory at last. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Moths, the butterfly of the evening, or how rich British people say maths.
Moths. I'm going... Let me, do you mind if I pop into the abacus room? I need to do a little bit of moths.
Look, it's not accurate, but it's not accurate.
I mean, if you say it in a posh voice, it does sound... Yeah.
I've never been good at accents.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Last Post.
That's all the time we have for your ad section now, because now it's time for your top story. Breaking news in the Rock/Island 2020 campaign. Voting is in. John Luke Roberts, they've begun to count. What's happening? What's the breaking news?
Well, it's of course it's a... it looks like Bob Vincenti and Trash Island and The Rock have won, but it's quite a, it's a difficult process. There's lots of, because there's early voting, there's late voting, there's sideways voting. That's a new one. It's in some of the courts aren't really happy with it. Basically, they have to count the votes, then they have to taste the votes. At this stage, they're caressing the votes before finally they mash up the votes, use them in a sort of a brewing device to make what you could basically call a tea. Drink the tea and then look at the leaves left from the votes and see whose face it most resembles. It's generally state by state. That's more or less how they do it. But it does look like Bob the Sentient Trash Island has won. And of course, he ran on the slogan, "I'm a Sentient Trash Island." And that seems to have been successful for him. That seems to have been enough. Trump isn't particularly happy about it, but he has also been absorbed by Bob the Sentient Trash Island, so there's not much he can do.
Well, yeah, yes. I mean, obviously, that was scenes, of course, because they haven't declared full-on victory yet, but it was looking like Bob the Sentient Trash Island was way out ahead in that every single vote that had been counted so far was coming in favour of him. It was not at all ambiguous, but Trump kept saying, wait, maybe there's more. What about the postal votes? But unfortunately, he spent the last few months completely undermining.
I mean, he started that. Do you remember he took out those bits of paper and said, wait, and wrote like 1,000 votes on them and held it up and said, look, there's more votes. And he kept making his own votes out of bits of paper and cardboard and what he had around. Yeah. But we still don't know. That might be a successful
It
tactic.
Might. It might. So far, we've got Mike Pence wrestling with Dwayne The Rock Johnson on the top of the White House events to determine whether that works at all.
It's surprising, to be honest, that Pence is doing so well against professional wrestler Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but it does seem to be sustaining, which is I don't know whether there's any powerful forces that he's summoned to help him, but it's weirdly equal. I would say it's weirdly.
Well, this is
equal.
The thing. This is the thing that Dwayne The Rock Johnson, despite his many years of wrestling, a lot of the wrestling that he has done is let's say not as impactful as other wrestling. In that there seems to be a lot of very telegraphed punches that strike Pence with a flat palm in the middle of the chest rather than, for example, connecting with his jaw with the full force of Dwayne The Rock Johnson's arm.
So it seems almost as if The Rock is playing by the rules.
Yes, of WWE wrestling or WWF wrestling, as it used to be called before the World Wildlife Fund came in with their cute pandas and ripped off the best trademark in the history of...
Pence, of course, is just going mad up there with a big wooden mallet, which I don't think is in the WWE.
No, you're allowed to use a light metal folding chair. That's a legitimate weapon in the WWE. You're allowed to tag out someone in underpants. You're allowed to tag them in.
Mm-hmm. I believe there's a rule that you are allowed to use any mallet that you can carry in your pocket, which of course generally means very tiny mallets, unless there's a cartoon playing, and they can get a massive one out of there.
I mean, that is not fair. We all have to acknowledge that is not fair to bring out a cartoon mallet, because that, unlike normal mallets, that can just make someone entirely two-dimensional, and then that takes them minutes to recover from. They're just little two-dimensional circle waddling around in circles. Very stressful. Can't be good for long-term health outcomes either.
And what are they for? Anyway, massive nails? You know, you don't need a mallet that big. It's a weapon.
Yeah, it is the AR-15 of cartoon weaponry. There's no function other than, like, you're not using that to hunt a deer, is what I'm saying. You know, who needs a flat deer?
Well, no, that's it. There's nothing to eat. What's the point? You flattened the meat. That's what you've done. I mean, I suppose you could sort of put it in sandwiches, but since when have we... Venison sandwich, I don't think it's not. I mean, we have them in the royal family, of course, but they don't taste nice. We just do it because we can. It's like swan. We have swan neck. It's horrible. We do it because we can. There's one thing I'd like to point out.
Yes,
there's
of course.
Actually two little bits of trivia about this. Against the odds, Trump did win the poplar vote, which is a tree-based vote, and they all went for him. All the poplars went for him. I think he made some weird, you won't lose your leaves in autumn promises. You know, he said, I'll stick them back on. You won't have to go around naked for a quarter of the year.
Very gullible, the poplars. Bend with every breeze.
I know. It's true. They're not evergreens, are they? No. Good. Because if they were, that wouldn't work.
No, because Bob the Sentient Trash Island has very good environmental policies.
Very good environmental.
Poplars are more like nevergreens, am I right?
Yeah, and he's got that kind of, hey, why throw it in landfill? I'll just have it and be bigger. And The Rock is the first vice president to be in Mount Rushmore. Not as a face, but as the material itself.
Well, that's all the time we have for our top story right now, because now it's time for your letters to the editor. Your letters to the editor now. Remember, you can send a letter to the editor by writing to us at thelastpost@somethingelse.com. This one comes in from Andrew, who says, Dear Alice and adjacent co-human... That's you today, John Luke.
Thank you. I am adjacent.
Well, are you though? Or are you...
I'm like in terms of Zoom, I am adjacent.
You are adjacent, but sort of geographically very much perpendicular and at a distance.
Perpendicular?
Yes.
I guess. Yeah.
I feel like our heads are pointing in different directions if our feet are pointing towards the globe.
If you stuck a rod through my head, out through your perineum... Through the earth.
I would get arrested.
Yeah, it's true.
Back to the letter. New Zealand has launched a local tourism campaign for Kiwis called Do Something New, New Zealand. I'm concerned, however, this campaign must spark some confusion with the Do Something New, New Zealand Octopus Tribes tourism campaign. Is it possible we might see more octopus tentacles squelching around our tourism hotspots? Best wishes and good luck to you, Christopher. Andrew. You follow tourism news, John Luke. What's going to be happening? Is there going to be much confusion with these two slogans? Or do you think people know the difference between New Zealand and New Zealand and what's new in New Zealand and what's new in New Zealand?
Well, actually, I think what this generally leads to is the creation of a new Zealand. You can't put a campaign out this without thinking somebody's going to get the wrong end of the stick and decide, you're right, we do need a new Zealand. So, yep, I just think we're going to have a proliferation of Zealands And I feel sorry for New Zealand.
I feel sorry for Zealand, let's be honest.
I feel sorry for Zealand, yeah, this is it. They just, with each New Zealand, they seem more and more out of date, and they can do everything they want to try and get up to the current day. But as long as there's a new Zealand, you know, they say new Zealand, they're going to seem like your old hat, Grandad.
Yes, and of course, depending on where you are in the world, people don't even call them by their proper name. Some people just call them Zedland, because that's the more technically correct.
Yeah, the alphabet.
That was an alphabet joke. And that's all the time we have for your letters to the editor today. I enjoyed that letter, a rare occasion where I enjoy a letter to the editor. Thank you for writing into us, Andrew. Thank you for listening to The Last Post today. We're here in your ears 366 days of this year, and we'll be back tomorrow, come rain, hail or shine. I don't know why any of those things would be an issue. We're a podcast. A big hello to our listeners in the other dimension. Your guest today on the podcast was the wonderful John Luke Roberts. John Luke, have you got anything to plug?
I have specials available on johnlukeroberts.co.uk. So go there if you like. And I'm on Twitter at @jlukeroberts.
You should get those specials. They're all good. I watched one just the other night. The Last Post is Alice Fraser. Yes, I did. The Last Post is an Alice. I made my dad watch it, but he fell asleep. Just because he was tired, not because of your comedy.
No, I understand.
He already saw that show in Edinburgh. I made him go. The Last Post is an Alice Fraser and the Bugle podcast.
What are you making? Forcing your dad to watch my shows? I don't know. It's not really. This hasn't been the ego boost I was hoping for.
The Last Post is an Alice Fraser and the Bugle podcast's production. I am Alice Fraser. Find me online at @alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. That's @alliterative. Or for a one-stop shop of all of my stand-up specials, podcasts and blogs, sign up to support me on patreon.com/AliceFraser for a behind-the-scenes pass to my glamorous life. The executive producer of this podcast is Christopher D. Skinner. His sub-producer, the editor, and the iron fist inside his velvet glove is the inimitable Ped Hunter. As we always say, good luck to you, Christopher, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.